The Providence College Friars.
Will the party ever end tonight, downtown Providence?
The Big East.
23 points.
And the rest of the college hoops world.
You know that. The party will not end.
This is the Providence Crier Podcast with your host, a PC grad standing in at 4 feet tall. He is the Providence Crier himself, Mike Zarek.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Providence Crier Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Zarek, the Providence Crier. Follow me on Twitter. That's at Providence Crier. Read our blog, theprovidencecrier.com. Join with me as always. We have BFC in the house. Follow him on Twitter at BFC all day. Today is Thursday, April 11th. The NCAA season is officially over, BFC. But we were actually here for another matter. We were going to do an emergency podcast. Obviously, the news is already broken that Chris Asantico joins the Friars as a transfer from St. Joe's. We will certainly get to all of that. At this point, it's not really an emergency as we're a full day removed here. But again, the college basketball season comes to a close on Monday night. It was UConn. It was Purdue. The common theme, repeat versus redemption. Early on, looked like redemption could be in the cards. Zach Edey was giving UConn a little bit of fits, but end of the day, it is the Huskies that go back-to-back national champions. Now 6 overall, they win the game 75-60. BOC, the game was on very late. Did you watch on recording?
You should be proud of me. I watched the first half. I watched till halftime.
Oh, wow.
I've seen Connecticut enough. I thought Purdue probably played their best, the best half they could play against Connecticut, and they were still down 5 or 6. And I knew I would wake up and it would be a double digit victory. So I can't say I'm surprised. It's weird to say that this Connecticut team might have been better than last year. You can make that debate all you want, but end of the day, Hurley's been absolutely dominant the last 2 years in the NCAA tournament. He's built an absolute juggernaut there. And his demeanor and his mannerisms on the sideline aside, I think he's by far the best coach in college basketball right now. I don't think anybody has been able to bottle up the culture, keeping role players satisfied on the bench, and just managing the NIL portal really as well as him. He's become an absolute beast. And so you have to give him kudos, even though it's painful to say as a Providence guy.
Yeah. It was just in typical UConn fashion this year. Is like you think, oh, maybe a team might be able to give them a game, and then they just go on a run and just don't look back. I mean, this wasn't like the run that they went on against Illinois, but it was actually kind of similar to the Alabama game there, where it looked like Bama was going to give them some problems early, and then UConn settled in, close out that first half well, and then go on a run in the second half and kind of just play keep away from there. I don't know. Hurley's certainly hot right now. 2 titles. Bill Self also has 2. I think does Rick Pitino have? I don't even know.
I think he has 2, right?
Couple. Two or three. I think he has 3.
Yeah.
Certainly Hurley's the hot coach in NCAA right now. And it's actually funny you say that, because his name was flirted in the Kentucky opening. BOC and I joked that every time we record a podcast, we feel like something major in either Providence or college basketball breaks like immediately after we record. And sure enough, our last episode, we record and then the Calipari stuff breaks. I personally thought it was probably going to be like a PC portal edition. We had to wait a few days for that. But Coach Cal makes the move to Arkansas. Seems kind of like a parachute situation. That opens the door for, okay, who wants Kentucky? Mm-hmm. One of the better jobs, if not the best job in college basketball. Apparently the first call was made to Hurley. He said no. Nate Oates also said no. Scott Drew also says no, despite Kentucky fans calling a local Mexican restaurant to talk to him, to take the job. And then it seemed like Kentucky was going to go back to Hurley. And apparently, as of this recording on Thursday night, still a no. Dan Hurley will remain at UConn, as far as we know. You and I kind of debated this. I think it's kind of crazy to pass up the money, but I guess if the shoe fits.
I mean, it's obviously a large sum of money. What we don't know is what he got increased, what his assistants got increased when UConn obviously countered, because he could have been using, I mean, Calipari used to do this all the time. He could have been using Kentucky as a way to get a pay raise. So there's a couple things we know about the Hurley family. One, his wife is an East Coast girl and wants to stay on the East Coast. Like, look at his track record with coaching where he's coached. It's all been on the Eastern Seaboard. So the move to Kentucky would have been interesting. And I don't, it's painful to say UConn's absolutely blue blood. And I don't think it would be easier to win at Kentucky. I think he has things humming right now, and I think it's going to keep moving along. So you don't fix what's not broken, even if there's a pay increase. And it also, like, it's great for the Big East that he's staying. You NCAA tournament stuff, like, we need elite teams moving forward. This assures us that we have another NCAA tournament team, if not an elite team. So we need to keep stacking these elite teams and these elite coaches and keeping them in conference with Coach Mack, Sean Miller, Xavier. Like, all we just need to keep Patino. We need to keep these coaches in the cradle of the Big East. So this is a good win for the Big East.
To me, it's just like it's not just passing up like a couple mil. It's not like passing up like a mil and a half in having to move from Providence to say DC, with the cost of living in DC. We're not talking that kind of pay bump, BOC. We are talking close to double the money, if not double the money that he's making at UConn. I think he was like 3.5 prior to the first title, and then they bumped him to 5, I think. But I mean, the numbers being thrown out with Kentucky, 10, 11, $12 million a season. You're right. I mean, I don't know if he would have had the success at Kentucky. There's a ton of pressure there. Certainly pressure at UConn, I would
His
say.
personality also, he's just an East, like, his personality is typical, like, East Coast, like, in your face. It fits.
But I mean, I don't know. It's just like, I mean, his brother coaches in Tempe,
And he's not having that great of success.
he's not, but I'm granted Arizona State's not that great of a job. I'm just surprised that he returned out. I thought he would want the challenge of it. I really did, but
I think the
I
challenge is
guess
going
he's
to be
here to
that.
stay.
I think the challenge is the NBA job. That's the only thing that I think pulls him away from Connecticut personally.
Very possible.
This is too much Connecticut talk. We gotta move
Yeah,
on.
no, I know, I know, I know, I know. But yeah, so more seasons of Dan Hurley pushing his players into the action of sets during games. Did you catch that?
I did, and we. I'm a Hurley guy. I don't care. I could say this on the pod. I love Hurley. He's a Jersey guy. I think his sideline antics aside, he's awesome. Kim English pretty much did the same exact thing when he told Devin Carter to shoot the ball against Butler. He didn't touch him, but
Not the same thing as pushing a player into the action of the play. It should have been a technical foul, BOC.
oh,
Like they just called it like it was out of bounds.
it
That was
wouldn't
the
have mattered. It
weirdest
would
thing.
not have
Should have been a
mattered.
T. Should have been a T.
Instead of a 15-point win, it's 13, God forbid.
Yeah, I mean, since you're making the record known, I would like to let the record know that I'm a Hurley hater. He's showing to be a really good coach, but I can't stand the guy. All right, so let's move on. We got portal stuff to talk about. A big man coming to town. We'll get to that, but first, a word from our sponsors. Support for this episode of the Province Crier podcast is brought to you by Fox Hill Wealth Management, a fiduciary investment company. Are you struggling to plan for retirement and other life events? Do you need help investing your savings? Well, look no further than Province College graduate Eric Benz, along with his team of financial advisors and certified financial planners. You can gain peace of mind knowing your finances are in expert hands at Fox Hill Wealth Management. Take control of your financial future today. Visit them at foxhillwealth.com to get started. All right, welcome back to the Crier Podcast. Quick shout out, thanks to our guys at Fox Hill there. If you are interested in their financial services and request more information on their site, just reference the Crier there. Much appreciated. Okay, so Kim English tweets out the warning sign, BOC. He tweets out soon come on a Wednesday afternoon. Sure enough, right after that, it breaks that Chris Isendoko, once PC commit, went to St. Joe's, redshirt of the year, played last year, but he's coming to Friartown officially, I think. Unless he pulls a Will McNair, BOC. What are your initial thoughts of the move?
I'll put you on the spot. Did we just land our five-man next year? Is he our starting five?
Yeah, so, I mean, I would say yes. I would say yes. It will be interesting. I think, you know, he's not a complete player yet. I do think, you know, if he's going to be, you hope that, like, Bonk can give you something too. But, I mean, I think so. But I don't know. I know you want to put him right in there right away.
I think
– and he very well might be. Yeah. But
I wrote an article on the website, provincecrier.com. Check it out. It's pretty in-depth on what we're getting with Isendoko. He redshirted his freshman year, and then this year he had a pretty good freshman season because he was battling a foot/toe injury all year.
Turf toe.
Turf toe, exactly. That's, I can imagine what that feels like for a 7-footer, right? 21 minutes, in just 21 minutes of play, he scored, averaged 8 points, 6 rebounds. I think it was a block and a half. And I think everybody, exemplified by the fact that UConn was in on him, St. John was in on him, everybody saw the potential for this guy. A couple things that stand out to me. He has really good footwork in the post for a big man, and he's, by definition, a massive human being. He's, see it listed anywhere, 260, 270, 280 even. I think probably his best weight's probably in the 250 to 270 range. Great footwork, very light on his feet. He utilizes the spin move and some counter moves in the post, which is interesting to see with such a big person. But then he also has the ability, it's kind of like a pass rusher in football, where he has the ability to also just bull rush you and can use his physicality to get his position in the paint. So he has an array of moves offensively. Not a great athlete in terms of vertical ability, not a big jumper. And I think that might have to do with the turf toe injury. I also think with the turf toe injury, he needs to get in better shape. Like you see, you could see that he needs to spend some time in the strength and conditioning room, which is fine because we have him for 3 years. And I'll let you chime in here on your thoughts, but that's the biggest thing to me is in one, you know, last season, our tallest active player was 6'9" in Josh Odoro. Now we have a 7'2" guy in Bonk, a 7-footer in Isendoko, potentially a 6'10" guy in Big Oswin, who jumps through the gym. So he compensates with the lack of height there. If you could say 6'10 is a lack of height. So we went from having probably the smallest front court in the Big East to now next year having the biggest front court. So you hear English say, we're going to have 13 dudes. We're going to have 13 dudes that are ready to play. He just completely flipped over the front court. And now we probably have the tallest front court in the Big East. So he did everything he said he was going to do, landed as starting lead guard. We need to do a few more things, but we're in a fantastic place right now. He's been 2-for-2 in the portal.
Yeah. No, that is the crazy part, and that is the exciting part. I mean, hell, you look at the national championship game, you know, it Klingon didn't play that great, I didn't think. But you're talking about two giants in the paint, right? In Edie and Klingon. And Providence didn't have that, and quite frankly, BOC really hasn't had that like ever. You know, you think of like Randall Hanke and Ray Hall; those guys weren't even 7 feet. So it's been a minute since the Friars have had a legit 7-footer, and you know, now it looks like they definitely have two going into next season. We'll see what happens with Oswin in a potential reclass. But yeah, it's awesome. Very excited for that to have some size in the paint.
And even if they're not, you know, finished products, which they're not going to be next year, nobody's going to say that with Bonk or Asondico. Freaking helps to be a raw product that or project that's 7 foot tall at 7 foot two. Like you can get away with that and just be somebody who protects the rim, gobbles up rebounds, and you can throw it into the post and maybe get a few touches there. So I'm really excited. I think, you know, the front court was the reason why we didn't make the tournament last year. When I say the front court, I mean McNair leaving, Hopkins. You had to trust that Hopkins and one of Hopkins and Odor were going to stay healthy all year. We wrote an article about it before the season. How can this season go wrong? We said if something happens in the front court, that's what happened with Hopkins. For what it's worth, if it was Hopkins healthy and Odor went down, I think the same thing would have happened where we would have been exposed in the front court. So I think the comments English made after UConn game was basically saying we had a really good starting five and we had a good starting five, but we just weren't a deep team at all. He's completely fixed that in both the lead guard position, in my opinion, as well as in the front court. And that's for the four and five because you could play Hopkins, you could play Hopkins and Sondico, you can play Sondico and Bonk. Like there's a lot of options there and you can go really big and make life hell for the opponent. It's just a really interesting way to remedy a pain point from last year.
Could you imagine the big on big lamp? Oh my God.
Dude, Roy Williams would fly up and just watch the games.
Couple more notes on Sandico before we move on. So 8.2 points per game, 5.7 rebounds per game. But I did the math out, and in games in which he played 20 minutes or more, he's at like 10 a game and six and a half rebounds per game. So yeah, there's a lot to like with it. One thing I will say, two turnovers a game, and I mean that's he was up and down between being a starter and not. A little concerning. You know, you don't want your big men turning it over a ton. But he also shows some flashes of being a pretty good passer too. So
That's what I want to bring up too. He can hit the deep ball. I think he was a 37% shooter from deep on admittedly only 38 attempts last year. I think that number doubles. I wrote that in the article. But what it does is it causes the big man to drag out and leave the paint. And what does that do? It leads your teammates to cut to the paint, backdoor cuts, you know, it leads to a much more fluid offense in the half court set. Which is exciting because I think we struggled a lot with that last year. So you're starting to see the fingerprints, you know, Kim English, what he's trying to do. It's all starting to come together. And I think we're probably going to lead into this, but the next thing we need is one or two more shooters or wing players and one who can ideally spell Hopkins at the four. But you have to be thrilled with this Asondico and the Joseph commitment, given they filled two really big needs, and now we just need to fill one more need in shooters.
With those two guys, like you're kind of starting to see what English and then the guys that we're looking at on the wing, which we'll get to in a moment, starting to kind of see what Kim wants. Guys that can shoot, guys that can pass. Bensley Joseph, pretty good assist rate. I think Asondico too, for his size and for his minutes. Pretty good assist rate from him. And you know, Vesely Joseph's very good shooter, catch and shoot from three. I feel like on the I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm willing to guess we weren't that great of a catch and shoot 3-point team. I'm pretty comfortable in saying that. And so, you talk about all the looks that they got last season and like shot quality and all that. You want guys that can catch and shoot. And that's what you're getting. So very good start to the portal. Very exciting, but still work to do. This is not a finished product by
Do
any means.
you think Griffiths the ship has sailed with Griffiths or no?
Yeah, maybe, possibly. I think the visit must have went well, but it's like it never gives me a good feeling when it's like, oh, this guy's ready to commit, and then it's like, oh, well, hold on.
Yeah, so for the people who don't who aren't lunatics about recruiting like Mike and I are. Traditionally in the past, you would have five official visits. They made it unlimited official visits in the high school ranks. So it's often you see players take many official visits when they're in high school. The portal, the and the transfer portal in college is different. Normally it's a player takes one visit, maybe two visits. And normally when you get that visit, that is the biggest almost determinant to that person landing with that school. So if you have a person that visits your school on an official visit when they're in the portal, more likely than not, that person's going to come to your school. So the fact that Griffiths visited, didn't commit is fine, but now that he's visiting Nebraska, you don't know what's going on in the background. Mike and I don't pretend to be these like stealth insiders, so we don't know exactly what happened. Maybe it was a parting of ways mutually. Maybe Griffiths said, "I want to check out other schools." Who knows? Maybe he's trying to get the NIL up from Providence. We don't know that. We're not going to pretend to know that. But it's not a good sign that he's visiting another school.
No. But we'll see. Maybe he does pop.
Maybe he pops before his flight tomorrow and just cancels it.
just get that soon come tweet from Good English.
He exits the plane as soon as that tweet comes out.
all
Do you
right, so
Well, let me add one more thing. I think
yeah.
this Asondico commitment means we're probably out for the Chattanooga 4-5 Sam Alexis. You never know. That visit was scheduled for, I think, in a week or so. So he was supposed to visit Florida and then us. I think the subsequent weekend. So we're recording this on Thursday. So next weekend, I believe. We'll see if that visit transpires. Because I think he's more of a, and so I make this delineation purposely. He's more of a 4-5 than a 3-4. And I think we're looking for to fill two positions, a 2-3 or a 3-4. So I don't know if it seems a little bit duplicative to take him right now.
They got openings though.
I wouldn't say no, but he'd have to be cool with competing for a spot and more likely than not being the first big man off the bench.
But yeah, they got their two guys. We've talked about next, wing player, 2-3, 3-4 type. You had the Asondoko article, and then I've heard some chatter. Obviously, BJ Freeman of UW Milwaukee. I put out an article on two guys, BJ Freeman of UW Milwaukee, and Anthony Del Orso of Campbell University. So check that out on the blog as well. BJ Freeman, who, if you can remember, scored 33 points at the AMP against the Friars this past November. I'm in the Trilly Discord BOC, and we had a UW Milwaukee guy. I don't know how tapped in he is, but come into the Providence space and was like, he's highly considering you guys. So might be an interesting name to monitor there. And now, of course, you got the PCBC trying to do their recruiting pitch to him. I don't know if you saw it, but the whole grandma in the birdcage tweet. for asking him to come.
Who tweeted that? I gotta see that.
He was like Lieutenant Colonel Felton, I think. Yeah, he's tweeted the last 2 days. So BJ Freeman's definitely a name to monitor. Anthony Del Orso, both these guys 6'6". Del Orso kind of seems a little more built than Freeman. Freeman more so of like a guard type scorer, you know. But they both have good size. Freeman really filled it up at UW Milwaukee last year. Over 21 points a game. Also gives you like 6.5 rebounds, 4 and change assists. I believe he only has 1 year of eligibility though. Played JUCO and then played the last 2 years at UW Milwaukee. Although, I don't know, I don't think junior JUCO applies for the COVID waiver. But who knows? I'm pretty sure he only has 1 year.
Junior, it might apply.
Yeah, but I think they're a part of their own thing. But regardless,
This COVID thing's annoying. I can't wait for it to be over with.
I know it just makes things too confusing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind taking a guy that's talented for an extra year, but come
Yeah.
on. Anthony Del Orso was Big South Player of the Year as a or freshman of the year as a freshman. Campbell moves over to the CAA. And last year he was second team all CAA. He's at about 19 points a game. He has more eligibility, he has 2 years left. And he's a native of Australia. If you remember last year in the portal, Friars went after an Australian in Taron Armstrong, the Cal Baptist guard, who elected to skip, return to college, and ended up it plays in the NBA, NBL. The same league as Bryce Cotton. So he plays professionally. But as most of you know, Nate Tomlinson, Providence assistant coach, played in the NBL, is from Australia. So that might also be a name to monitor if you read the tea leaves, you know, as we like to do.
Yep.
So those are two guys that I think could fit. Did you watch any of their tape, BOC? What are your thoughts?
I mean, I watched Freeman cook us. That
Yes.
guy was unstoppable. And we talk about Devin Carter, how he's a great defender. Call what it is, man. Freeman absolutely worked Devin Carter in that game. He worked everybody, but he took it to Carter. I distinctly remember saying, how is this guy doing this against Devin Carter? Because it boggled my mind that a kid from Milwaukee was doing this. So he's a scorer. The thing that I like, and you put it really nicely in the article, he's a three-level scorer, which means he can shoot from deep, mid-range, and around the rim, which is nice. We just need more pure scorers. And I think Freeman is that guy. I think his biggest adjustment would be leveling up, as it would be with a lot of these transfers. And also going from being the guy to one of the guys. And I think that's really important to note because a lot of these transfer ups can't do that, or can't make that adjustment. So if you bring them in, you say, hey, you're probably going to be our starting two or three. That's great. But you're not going to get 25 shots a game. And I think he needs to accept that. And if he doesn't, he'll find a different school. But I would love to have him. Admittedly, the other guy I haven't watched too much of. I know you're on him more than me. Love his size. Love the fact that he puts up stats in a lot of different ways. He's not just a scorer. He is well-rounded. He has good size on the wing. He's a little bit more built, as you had mentioned. You can't go wrong with either. I think you land one of the two. Expectations are probably they'll be competing for that three spot. Maybe they'll play two in a pinch, but I think you could probably slot in Pierre and Joseph as the 1-2, or however you want to flip them, and then one of these guys as the three, Hopkins at the four, and then Asondico at the five. So starting to see it all come together.
Yeah, who would you rather get? I mean, I know you actually watched a full game of Freeman. But I think I know your answer on this.
I am torn because English is doing a really nice job of getting, like, Joseph is a 1-year guy. We're only gonna have Hopkins for one more year. So it's almost like go all the way in with Freeman. Or you take the long route and you say, you got us Sandico for 3 years. We have Bonk for 4 years. We have Osmond for 4 years. We have Pierre for another 2 years. And you maybe take another developmental guy so you have him for 2 more years. And then you kind of get a good player, but push all the way in for next year. You can't go wrong. I think in the era of the transfer portal, you take it 1 year at a time. So I'd probably just say Freeman. Just go, you should try and go all the way in each year.
Interesting. I'm surprised. I thought you would go with the extra year of eligibility. I really did.
I think
But
I
I
think
think I'm with you. I think
yeah.
I'd rather have Freeman too. But that Del Orso is a nice little player. He's a little more athletic than Freeman. The great thing about Freeman, though, excellent free throw shooter. Excellent.
Yeah.
Which would be a nice thing to have after this past season, where the Friars really struggled from one most of the season. But yeah, he's like a career 83% free throw shooter, and he takes a good amount of them because he was basically UW Milwaukee's offense. But yeah, both would be really good. Regardless, I think that is a position that they're going to need to address, whether it be those two or someone else.
So let me ask you this. Say, and I know this isn't realistic, but let's say our starting lineup is Pierre. Well, we'll say everything else is status quo. I know it's super early, but Pierre, Joseph, Floyd Jr., Hopkins, Asantico. Where are we in the Big East?
I mean, right now they're definitely trending top half for sure. Another guy that we haven't mentioned because we haven't seen yet, but Justin Fernandez getting rave reviews.
Yeah.
He could be a really good player.
Yep.
He could theoretically be your wing, like guard wing guy.
Yep.
I still think they'd probably want to add another one, just because, like Kim said, 13 dudes.
Yep.
But yeah, I think they're trending towards being a top half team because you got a guy like Hopkins who's already shown he's a all Big East caliber player. It'll be interesting to track kind of his rehab and where that's at over the summer. ACLs aren't the full year that they used to be, but you kind of want him ready before the season starts. You don't want it being like as the season goes on, because
They won't
I
do.
feel like that's always brutal.
Yeah,
Like,
they won't.
always.
They won't do that. I think he'll. What he got injured in what, December?
January 4th. I
So,
never forget.
and the season starts what, mid-November, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
Typically, it's 6 to 9 months these
Yeah,
days.
I think he should be ready to start a season, but you take it slow, so you go closer to 9 months than six.
Yeah. And you
But
got to
if.
build them up. So, like, yeah, I mean, that's certainly when we get, deep into the summer here at BOC, and we start asking the questions about the team in what are the themes kind of looking into the year? That's certainly going to be one of them. But assuming he is back and back to himself, you already have a guy like that. You have much better size this year. I think Pierre's in store for a monster junior. I thought he would take a big jump this year. Probably didn't take as big of a jump as I thought, but he still had a good year. And, those in-game reps are only going to help him going forward.
So, okay, so you say top half of the Big East. We have Freeman. Where do you put us?
I think now you're starting to look at top two or three in the Big East. You're going to Uno. Well,
Who's going to be better?
after all that waxing poetic about Dan Hurley.
Well, they're about to land my boy Brendan Howson, it sounds like, which is not good for the rest of the Big East, because
Another guy I hate.
he'll actually have a coach that knows how to use him. Yeah, I mean, well, Newton's out of eligibility, right?
Yeah, so I mean, they lose a lot this year,
Well,
but I mean, I said that last year.
they also lost a lot last year. So, all right, maybe I'll be safe.
They still kept a core from last year. I think people are like very easy to dismiss that. Like, Caravan was one of their key cogs last year. So,
Caravan, Newton, Kling in.
yeah, And yeah, Newton was MLP last year, just like he was this year. So, yeah, so they're not gonna have that championship core because they probably lose Klingon, Castle, Newton. They'll bring back Diarra, who, admittedly, I think he's played a lot better.
DR's a dog. I love him.
Yeah, but like, I feel like with him before, it was just like good defense, but can't give you anything else. I think his offense starting to climb up, which makes me nervous. They had those four freshmen that barely got any time. Salmon Ball had a few good moments during the season. But be interesting to see what those guys do if they stick around or not. Because you just never know with the portal. I'm sure they'll reload. But yeah, I mean, you look at the rest of the conference. Marquette.
Is it fair to say we think it might be a down year?
So far, yes. I will say so far, yes. But this,
Everything can change.
like we talked about at the last offseason or last episode, these off seasons are a little different now. It's just very fluid and things can kind of change on a dime with the teams. But I
Also,
mean, yeah, Marquette loses Cole Ikenoso. That's like the engine of their team. I love Cam Jones. Hey,
They
Cam
could
Jones is
still
my
come back.
favorite
They could
player on
still
my
come
team.
back, though, right?
Who?
They could still come back, Kolek and Oso, though.
They're both tossing it.
And really?
Yeah.
Are we sure of that, though?
Yeah, I'm positive. They're foregoing their final season.
What are they doing?
Yeah. I
Dude,
can see Oso getting a little bit of love, but.
they could make more money in college
Yeah, they're done.
than where they get drafted, honestly.
I can see Kolek going in the second round. And then maybe
Yeah,
Oso
he'll make more
late
money.
first, early second. Maybe.
So I've watched him play, man. He does not. He got bullied by Eddie Lampkin. Imagine what it's gonna
Oh,
be.
I know. I believe me, I think he's softer than Sherman, but but yeah, losing those two guys is huge. Cam Jones is returning though. That guy is awesome. Huge fan. And then I don't know, like you look around, Xavier hasn't made a ton of noise yet in the portal, but I trust Sean Miller will. They could be. I heard a name on Xavier that could be in the portal soon. There's no point out for them.
I know who you're talking about. We won't put that out there,
No,
but it
I
would
won't.
be good.
I won't. But Seton Hall, they're gonna get gutted by the portal. But on the flip side, you got Shaheen who just kind of makes I don't know why I'm blanking on the
Lemons,
saying.
lemon, lemonade out of
Yes.
lemons.
Yes. He's a really good coach. He'll find a way to find guys that he that fits him. But I mean, they are already lost Trey Davis or Dre Davis, excuse me. Another big name expected. I'll say this one because I don't think it's a surprise to anyone. But I can see Kadari doing NBA. I already made it. I tweeted a prediction about Kadari. NBA portal with option to return to Seton Hall. I guarantee that happens with Kadari Richmond. Guaranteed.
The
He wants
ironic
the
thing.
bag. Seton Hall doesn't have the bag.
Yeah, the ironic thing is if he just played in those two or three games where he said he had an injury. If he just played in those and stopped whining, they Seton
They'd
Hall would have
probably
been
in the tournament.
Seton Hall would
He
have
had a
been
bigger
part of.
bag because he got to show off his skills more. So yeah, I think Seton Hall could be in trouble, but again, they could fix things. Ed's not doing anything this offseason so far.
Which is very different than what everybody expected.
Oh yeah, I love it.
I know.
I love it.
I am thriving on that.
But who knows? Maybe he had some guys. So I mean, it's a long way to say. And then St. John's, they lose a ton too. But they got the vitamin water money, so and they got Patino for now. Unless he goes to Kentucky. They got Patino. It's just a long way to say, BOC, that we got a long way to go here in the offseason and things can change. But as of right now, you gotta like where PC stands looking at next year.
Yep. I think we're in a great place. If we had no other pieces, I think we are a top five in the Big East program right now, and that's a fantastic, fantastic, fantastic place to be.
Sure. All right, you got anything else before we get out of here?
No, man. I love this time of year, honestly. Like, you know me, I'm a recruiting nerd. I'm going nuts on this stuff.
I mean, you know me. I love the portal. I'm obsessed with the portal. I'm not as into the high school stuff as I used to, and I know you still are. I'll still do. I mean, I'm still grinding away on it, BSC. Don't get me wrong. I've read some articles, but.
Well, maybe we'll leave on this. Apparently, there are rumors Jahmyr Jones is a reclass option in 2024. So keep that. That could be our wing too.
Yeah, PCBC's been asking him to come to commit to PC for about 80 days now.
We can't put any more grandmas in the cage.
No. But yeah, no, I love Jahmyr Jones, actually. You know, I just said I'm not a huge high school recruit guy these days, but watch Jahmyr Jones tape. A lot to like there. Big fan. But yeah, keep following along with us. I think I still owe people an update to this portal guide. I will get to that. We'll take closer looks at guys that we may hear Friars are really in on. So we'll continue to do that. Obviously, anything that breaks, we'll be right on it. But until next time, Friar Town, see you later.
See you guys.
Man up in my city, I'm the truth, yeah. David Duke when I'm way above the hoop, babe. Cross over, I might go to LAU. Heard they sleeping on me, well, let's take them back to school. PC, you know we on go, ayy. Feel like AJ Reeves when I'm off that pick and roll, ayy. Fall down, bounce back like Emmett Hope, ayy. I'm the alpha dog, Diallo. They was sleeping on me, that's what made me a savage. Anything we bump into, we gon' let them have it, yeah.
They don't want no static, we at the top just like the attic.
This year we taking over March Madness. Man up in my city, I'm the truth, yeah. David Duke when I'm way above the hoop, babe. Cross over, I might throw the alley-oop. But they sleeping on me, well, let's take them back to school. Man up in my city, I'm the truth.